So with that, Father God, as we come together today, we partake in your word, just like the hymn that we just sang. We partake of your word, and we ask, Father, that as we take from your word, that it nourishes our spirits, our souls, and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So God gave all of us a dream, even you three. God's given you a dream. You might not know what that dream is yet, but God has given all of us a dream. And the thing is, in order for us to follow that dream, we have to step out. And when we step out, we have to use our faith. And when we do that, we're taking action. We know that God has given us this certain dream, and we've got to step out with our faith with what God's called us to do. But guess what? There's something else that's in that equation of stepping out in faith, and that is trust. And that's the message today that we're going to talk about. In order to trust, we have to have faith. In order to have faith, we have to trust. You have to have both. You cannot have one without the other. So in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So trusting God, even though it seems like God's always late to you, he certainly, we could probably say, never early, but know that God is always on time. We might seem to think that he's late, but he's always on time. So this morning we're going to talk about Esther. Esther, she was married to the king of Persia. And she had got wind that Haman wanted to destroy the Jews. And she had an option to either let it go and let that happen, or go before the king. Well, she knew that she wasn't going to do it on her own power. She couldn't do it on her own strength. That God had placed this on her heart, that she had to approach the king. But the thing is, you couldn't approach the king. Even though she was his wife, she still could not approach the king without his permission. Because if she did enter his courts without his permission, she could have been killed right there on the spot by the king, by the king's order. So, she knew that she had to trust God in this. And she even said, "If I perish, then I will perish." But she knew that she had to go before her husband, the king. The thing is, she had to trust God in all of this. And the first thing she did in her dream, that the dream that she was given to go before the Lord, or go before the king, but she had to go before the Lord, and the first thing she did was she fasted and prayed for 3 days before she did that. Now, there was a time period regarding killing the Jews. It was 11 months, within that 11-month span. But she knew this was an urgent thing that had to be dealt with. So she took to praying and fasting for 3 days. But she didn't do it herself. She asked her uncle Mordecai also to pray and to fast, and all the Jewish people to fast during that 3-day period. But the thing is, she trusted God to give her the directions on what she was supposed to do, and she was trusting that God would give her or help her do her part. That's a big thing right there, to trust God to help you do what he's called you to do. That's what she was doing. She was trusting God to help her do what she needed to do, even though her life was at stake. But then also this, she was also trusting that God would do what he was supposed to do. Because she knew that the moment that she went before the king of Persia, her life was on the line. She knew that. So when she prayed, and she said, "Now, God, I'm doing my part. I'm trusting you to help me with my part. Now I'm trusting you to do your part." And that is, she says, Esther needed God to direct the heart and the mind of the king to receive her into his presence. In other words, she wanted the the king of Persia, she wanted his heart to receive her when she came into the court where he was present. She wanted to make sure that the king was not going to have her beheaded right there on the spot. So she trusted that God would put on the heart of the king of Persia, her husband, to not kill her, to listen to what she had to say, because what she had to say was important. It was, you know, life or death. So she finally does, you know, take that at that moment, for such a time as this, is what she says, for such a time as this, I perish, if I perish, I perish, but for I'm here as the queen of Persia for such a time as this. But this is what she says. When she went before the king, she makes the king of Persia aware of Haman, who is trying to have a plot to destroy the Jews. And sure enough, just as God had promised, because she trusted God that he was going to do his part, sure enough, the king of Persia did have a change of heart, and he did listen to what she said. And as it turned out, Haman got hung by his own noose that he was going to use on Mordecai. That same noose that he was going to use to hang Mordecai by was the noose that he was hung by, because he was being deceitful and he was trying to destroy the Jews. So, this morning, there are six predictable stages of faith that help us walk out that trust in God. So I want you to take note of it. We're going to use Abraham as our example this morning, although I did share a little bit, and you might see a little bit of where these steps were related to what Esther did. But these six steps are the same six steps that Abraham took when he served and followed through on what God called him to do. Okay? So the first step is this. We dream. God's given us a dream. All of us a dream here. It could be a dream about ourselves that God's laid on our hearts. It could be a dream about our family, what we desire for our family. A dream about our church and what we want our church to accomplish in our community. And, you know, there's churches out there that are, and we are too. We're making a difference across the world. We're touching lives around the world. So not only do we have a dream of that, but it also in our community and in all four corners of the world. So God gave Abraham a dream that in Genesis 12 that he would be a great nation. Now that looked impossible because after all, he didn't have any children. We talked about this, I think, last Sunday or the Sunday before. So with that, Abraham then, number two, had to make a decision. He had to decide to step out in faith because God wanted him to leave his homeland and go to a new land. So he had to step out by trusting God and stepping out, because it's not like us today where, like Mary and Kim, they're going to go on a trip and, you know, you guys just came back from a trip and Lois, she's halfway around the world, it seemed like, I think, took a long trip. We don't have to really worry about the wild, wild west, as you might say. You know, back then, you left your homeland, you were taking your life into your own hands. I mean, you weren't sure what you were going to come up against. Today, we can go across the world and, for the most part, feel pretty safe, right? But back then, when Abraham left his homeland and went into a new land, he didn't know what to expect. But again, what did he do? He stepped out. He decided to step out and trust God. Okay, number three, delay. God never, guess what? We all relate to this. God never fulfills a dream instantly. How many of us can relate to that? Every one of us in this room feel like the dream that we have has taken months, years, decades. But God will bring it to pass on his time. So, even after 11 years, God still hadn't given Abraham and Sarah a son yet, or a child. And what happened in that 11 years while they waited? What happened then in that 11 years? Nothing. Nothing happened in that 11 years. Nothing that gave them hope that, oh, it's right around the corner. No. There was nothing that happened. But you know what? Abraham and Sarah waited. When you wait, what are you doing? You're trusting. You're standing in faith. You're believing. You're trusting. When you trust, you have faith. When you have faith, you trust. Those two things are needed to bring it to pass. Number four, difficulty. When we pursue a dream that God has given us, we can face problems. What kind of problems am I talking about? Well, sometimes Satan likes to discourage us. He likes us to worry. How's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? Where is it going to happen? I've been praying for so-and-so or a family member or grandkids, and I haven't seen it happen yet. You know what? We might not see that happen in our lifetime, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to get answered. You know, I'm sure all of us, I have a grandchild that's a year old, and, you know, whether she'll know the salvation of the Lord at the age of 3 or 5, and I know they go to church, but I might not see that. You know, I know that Jeff, when I talked to him, Glenn's son, who's in a correctional center, he's concerned about the fact that, will I be out before my father passes away? But you know what? He has the comfort in knowing that when they both go on to be with the Lord, they're going to see each other, and they'll be together for eternity. So he finds comfort in that. So, but again, we'll face difficulties when we're waiting on that dream, trusting God to bring that dream. We're going to face difficulties. And if you don't think Satan's not going to come along and do whatever he can to put doubt and unbelief in your walk as you're going towards this dream, as you're stepping out in this dream, Satan's going to do whatever he can to discourage you and let you think that that dream is never going to come to pass. Okay, so that's number four. So, again, here's Abraham and Sarah. Their dream seemed to be totally impossible because she's in her, like 90, and he's 99 years old. Who's to think that they would ever have a child? But God finally does answer their prayer. Why? Because they trusted God while waiting. You see, waiting and trusting and faith, they all are one thing. They are all key components to getting where you need to be with God, to accomplish and fulfill what God has for you. Faith, trusting, and what? Waiting. These are three key components that are needed when we go through this faith walk together. Okay? So number five. Now I'm going to say this and you're going to go, huh? Wait a minute. You just said waiting and faith and trusting. How about this one? Number five. Dead end. Dead end. And the reason I say that is because God may cause our dream to look like it's dead. That it's done. There's no way this is done. There's no way this is ever going to happen. Here's a good example of that. When Abraham was asked by God to take Isaac and put him on a sacrificial altar and sacrifice his own son. And he said, wait a minute, you know, like, wouldn't you be thinking, that's the dream. You want me to sacrifice the dream that you gave me, that dream of having a son? I'm to sacrifice that? It's a dead end? Is that what you're saying? So I give you that visual so that you begin to realize that that's what Satan wants to do with your dream that he's put on your heart. That he's put this on your heart, this dream, this desire to see. You know, you're a prayer warrior. Let's say you're a prayer warrior. And that's what your job is to do while you're here. You are to pray for your kids and you are to pray for your grandkids and their families and their salvation. That's your purpose. If that is your purpose, don't let what you see, determine the outcome of that dream. Okay? Remember what I said when I first opened up with prayer. I said something on the order of the fact that the eyes, that our faith goes beyond what our eyes can see. Okay? So, number six, deliverance. I love this part. It says, the more helpless the dead end, the more hopeless that dream looks like it's never going to come to pass, the greater the deliverance. What did God do when he asked Abraham to take his son Isaac, put him on the sacrificial altar, and he was going to sacrifice his son, and it's the moment he's going to kill his son, he's got the knife right here, he's going to sacrifice his son, and God stops him right there and says, Abraham, Abraham, stop. Now I know that you love me more than that dream. That you would do what I asked you to do, that you love me more than that dream, your son. And if you look to your left or to your right, whatever you said, in the thicket you will find that I have furnished the sacrifice that will take the place of Isaac. But see, that's a type and shadow right there of saying, I have sent my son, Jesus, to sacrifice. I have sent him. He is the final sacrifice that needs to be made. And he is to take the place of all of us. Of all of us. So let me ask you this morning this. How can we not trust him? How can we not trust him? How can we not have a faith in a Father God who gives up his only son to sacrifice him? That was his dream. That was God's dream, to have a son, Jesus, who was our Savior. He brought his son to be the one that was sacrificed for us. How can we not trust a God like that? How can we not have faith in a God like that? How can we not just relax in him? How can we not have an expectation when we pray for something that we have an expectation that it is going to come? Again, it's not going to be in our time maybe, but know that it's coming. We serve a great and mighty, loving, compassionate God. We know that he loves us so much that we can't even measure that love, because who gives their only son to sacrifice for mankind who doesn't want anything to do with God? What kind of God does that? So regarding our dream this morning, I ask you, as you think about the dream, do you have a dream? And if you do, are you ready to make that decision or to decide to step out in that dream? Are you frustrated because it's being delayed? Or are you frustrated because it's more difficult than you thought it was going to be? And you just want to throw up your hands? Or are you trusting God during that difficult time? Or do you see that dream as a dead end? Or are you ready for the deliverance of that dream? And as you sit back and you think of these stages, these six stages, there's this aha moment. I think it's Mary that says this, God winks. There's a God wink that comes our way to let us know that God's got this, and that God knows that dream, and he has not forgotten. So there's times he gives you God winks to remind you and me that he's still got the matter in hand, he's still got it all under control, and he's still going to take care of it. But it's got to be in his time, because it's not only affecting your life, it's affecting the individual that you're dreaming about to change their salvation. He's working on it. He's working on it behind the scenes. So don't get discouraged. But ask yourself, when you're by yourself, what step am I in with this dream? And know that all things are possible, and that God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. Amen? Amen. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close with prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and go into communion. God, Father God, we so desire to trust you, and we ask that you help us so that we don't walk around in our own strength, in our own worry, in our own doubt, running in circles. Even though we don't see how these circumstances can change for the better, Father, we just reach out to you. Help us to overcome so that we may trust in you more and begin to see that mighty hand of yours, the glory, your glory in our life, in our families' lives, in our church, in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. With that, we're going to go ahead and sing. We're going to go back to the song that we sang just a little bit ago. Number 695, just the first verse, as we gather at your table. Just the first verse, 695. And you may be seated, just stay seated.
As we gather at your table, as we listen to your word, help us know about your presence, what our hearts and minds deserve. Nourish us with secret sorrows till we clean our tongue. Teach us through his holy banquet how to make it.
So with those that are to do the communion this morning, come on up, please. Got your shirt on. I do it this way because it's hard to handle both at the same time, so we're just going to do them this way. So, Father, as we come to partake in the sacraments, Lord, it is to be reminded of what your precious Son did by taking our place on the cross. Father, we recognize that we have this covenant with you, a covenant that has been ratified by the shed blood of your precious Son at Calvary. That his blood was shed on our behalf, that he bore our sins, our disease, our sorrows, our griefs, our lack, our fear, and our unforgiveness. And through his sacrifice, we have complete redemption and deliverance in Jesus' name. So Jesus took this bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Drink, this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Thank you, Jesus. Before we close, we have our care offering this morning, so we need to pray over our care offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give in this care offering, for it touches so many, many lives. And we thank you for those that had given today in this care offering. And Father, again, multiply it so that it is a testimony of what your love and compassion is all about by giving and touching the lives of those that are in need. And Father, we thank you for that opportunity to give in Jesus' name. Let us all stand for our closing hymn, number 494. Before we go into the receiving the blessing, I know some of us feel like, well, I'm up there in years. I really don't have any dream. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. God wouldn't have you here if that dream had been fulfilled. So ask him. Say, "Lord, I don't know what you have for me to do at this season in my life. But if you're done with me, I wouldn't be here. So apparently you're not done. So if there's another dream, make me aware of it. Give me the wisdom, and then give me all the other six steps, the tools that I need to trust you and step out in it." Amen? Let's lift our hands and receive the blessing. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you peace. In Jesus' precious, precious holy name we pray. Amen.